to see you again.
Of course, Mozambique is barely coping with what is left of in the wake of the devastation of Cyclone Idai. We know that diseases have broken out. I spoke with Imtiaz from the Gift of the Givers the last time, and he was saying it's really hard to convince people to leave their homes in advance, you know, when you go out and people believe that they can somehow overcome it. Crystal, what do you know of the efforts of the Mozambican government to get people to safety in the northern parts of Mozambique and even in the southern parts of Tanzania? Are governments able to convince people to leave their homes, to move to higher ground, to areas of safety?
Yes, Karima, I think compared to the first cyclone we saw, there wasn't a lot of preparedness, you know. Mm. It had hit and came at a time where it's never, you know, sort of hit such an area like the Beira area before, and so there wasn't a lot of preparedness. I think this time around, you know, we've heard from the American Weather Center, we've heard from the French, and now, for instance, the latest from the UN's sort of coordinating office, this is the Global Disaster Alert Coordination System, they've issued an orange alert for Comores, which is basically the entire population. We're talking about 758,000. Mm-hmm. They are within this cyclone's wind speed zones. So it's actually going to hit Comores tonight already. And the government is preparing for that because they obviously got this alert and they've been trying to get alerts out to the population to move to higher ground. Mm-hmm. So that's now Comores adding to this. So in terms of southern Tanzania, the government there have been issuing alerts. They said they cannot underestimate Cyclone Kenneth. Mm. So they've been trying to get people out of the areas to move in to highland areas because this is in the south and it's coastal communities. Mm. But again, as you pointed out, these are people's livelihoods.
Yes.
They live off the sea. They fish. They have agricultural operations there. So they don't want to leave. But in Tanzania, because this area have actually had cyclones before,
yes,
so people are a bit more susceptible to be, okay, we need to leave. So we see in southern Tanzania, the Tanzanian government really being able to get together not only government resources, but also international aid and local aid organizations, like, for instance, the Red Cross.
Mm.
They are now coming to the assistance in terms of food and other assistance needed to be able to prepare for what will come in the coming days. And we talk now again, Mozambique, as you mentioned in your intro, the UN is estimating about 750,000 people that are living within this cyclone path, especially in the Cabo Delgado province, which again, we're talking thousands of people with high wind speeds. And I think this time around, the Mozambican government, with, you know, the limited resources, they are now saying that people should be moved. For instance, the National Water Resource Department have stepped in because there's a lot of areas with water basins that they're now saying people need to move. But I think it is, again, Karima, as Imtiaz had pointed out, it's very difficult for people to leave their homes, leave their livelihoods, and some are hoping that, you know, it may pass. But I think given the absolute devastation with Cyclone Idai, people are not taking a chance this time around.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, Crystal, but the weather services have said that they're expecting heavy rainfall, flooding, and sustained winds of up to 130 kilometers to 150 kilometers per hour. This will be coupled with high swells between 6 and 8 meters and rough sea conditions. They said that Cyclone Kenneth could also affect rainfall in South Africa. It might cause no rainfall for the summer rainfall areas in the Mozambican Channel. It's like a ball of energy drawing energy towards it. So little rainfall over parts of South Africa during that time. Now, the you know, intensity of this is said to not be as devastating as Idai. But do you think that governments have learned enough and that ordinary people have learned enough that it is important to adhere to warnings and to move to safer grounds, considering what has just happened, you know, not even a few months ago?
A few weeks ago. Yes, Karim, I think one of the big issues that came out of the aftermath of Cyclone Idai was, of course, the ill-preparedness of Southern African nations.
Yes.
That countries like Mozambique just don't have the early warning systems needed to deal with it, and then dealing with the aftermath of the absolute devastation. And then I don't think we've even heard, or we have heard, but to the full extent of the health consequences, waterborne diseases, malaria.
Yes.
Season is coming up now. And I think that we know that in countries, the health system is already crippling. So
yeah,
when you have a health emergency like, you know, cholera breaking out and malaria, the government simply don't have the resource to do it. And of course, there's been a lot of focus on Mozambique because that
yes,
is the epicenter of where it happened. But we're still talking Malawi and Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And the extent of just rebuilding the areas that were devastated, simply assisting farmers, you know, because it was agricultural season. People were supposed to harvest. They still, you know, crippling from the sort of climate change impact it had on last season. And so really countries are simply unable to cope with the real climate changes happening in their regions. So I think this time around we saw basically all the kind of main weather services across the globe coming out and alerting Southern Africa to these storms. So to some extent, there's some preparedness. But I do think the reality is that there's simply not enough capacity, Karima, within the poorer Southern African countries to have a real preparedness. And so we often see it's international aid organizations or aid bodies coming to the rescue of governments because they simply do not have the resources or the capacity and the preparedness to deal with these weather changes. But the bigger issue is climate change is impacting on Africa, Southern Africa in particular. And I certainly don't see this changing anytime soon, Karima. In fact, we saw what happened in Durban, in Eastern Cape, here in South Africa, seeing the impact of climate change. Did we ever imagine rainfall a few years ago as early as April, our winter rains coming? And so what this is clearly showing is really the impact of climate change on countries and on poorer countries, Karima, that do not have the capacity to deal with the consequences of it.
One of the tensions also, Crystal, is the fact that a lot of developing countries and poorer countries, you are beginning to find things like people want to massify industrialization. They want to massify construction and so on, like on the scale that they've done in China or come close to it. And often things like environmental impact studies are not done properly because development is measured by how many buildings are standing, how many things you've put up. But often what people call an act of God is actually not an act of God. It's actually a calculated decision about how we weigh things up. And I'm thinking of countries like Mozambique and others where people have, you know, found shale gas and all kinds of stuff. You've got all the developers going out there. And this is also not just a question of climate change, but also about prioritizing and mainstreaming environmental politics and the impact that it has on the lives of ordinary people. I mean, it has now become known that, you know, refugees are a lot in terms of the numbers coming as a consequence of supposed natural disasters, which are in fact policy decisions that governments are making about how they go about development.
Absolutely, Karima, you're just so spot on because, of course, the area where the cyclone Kenneth could potentially hit is, of course, the epicenter of this gas industry. And,
yes,
and we know that Mozambique is, you know, they say it's one of the biggest fines in the world.
I mean, they're poised to kind of supposedly you know, just take off, if you like.
Yes, and it's supposed to be the absolute game changer for the country. And again, as you say, it's in the gas-rich districts of Palmer, which happens to be the nerve center of the gas industry. And I think, again, because governments are so eager to please international investors, quite frankly, that's my view, Karima, that these environmental impact assessment studies, the impact that it have on coastal communities, displacement, and the impact on the environment is simply completely forgotten. It's thrown out of the door because it means, you know, foreign direct investment, development. And I think we often, you know, which is a separate issue, of course, but it's this Islamist growth in the north, you know, that we last year, there were reports of, you know, people being, you know, killed, etc. And of course, it's just gone under the radar again. But those are all part of issues of displacement, of communities not being able to benefit from the resources, being marginalized. And now with all this climate change impacts, it's just further pushing communities. And I do think then it creates a marginalization. And if, you know, some person offers X to a group of people, who knows what kind of other issues can be born out of it. And I think that is the reality. I don't think it's going to get any better, Karima, because we know the economic numbers that we've been told by the World Bank, the IMF, the African Development Bank, simply doesn't look good for sub-Saharan Africa or Southern Africa. And so Mozambique, in this case, sitting on this so-called big gas explosion, I think, you know, the climate change realities of a coastal country like Mozambique certainly means it cannot be business as usual.
Absolutely. And of course, the entire policy environment will have to change because the government will have to do some forward planning, looking ahead at how all of these things could impact ultimately on the citizens. And then, of course, also just to allow for local knowledge to impact on the way in which governments makes decisions on these matters. Crystal Audison, thank you very much. That was our Southern Africa editor of the Africa Report speaking to us about Cyclone Kenneth, which is heading to hit northern Mozambique. It is also going to be hitting the Comores this evening. We see that the authorities there have closed the airports. Schools have also been closed. It's also meant to hit southern Tanzania, and there has been attempts to get people to move to higher ground and for people to move from mud houses.